On today's episode, I chat with Kina of Wealth Over Now. She works with women who are in need of seeing the value of wealth over the present to ensure the financial freedom. We discuss the relationships women have with spending on clothing, hair, travel, and much more. And we also discuss how fitness and budgeting are disciplines that may or may not correlate. There's so many tips in this episode and a good amount of humor too. Check it out. Everyone, thank you for listening into the Beauty and Recreation Podcast. I have Kina here with me, the founder and CEO of Wealth Over Now. And I would love for her to introduce herself because I think she's going to honor us with the proper introduction.
Hi, thanks for having me, Imani. So my name's Kina and I'm a financial coach. And I work with single women and solopreneurs on really having a better relationship with money. Lately I've been talking a lot about using a budget to create wealth. I think that oftentimes when we think about budgeting, we think about it as a consequence, and budgeting isn't a consequence. Like if you were a six-figure earner, if you were anybody that makes money, you need a budget. And so many people get away from budgeting the more money they make. And so I want to help people have a better relationship with money and knowing that like budgeting is like one tool that you can use to actually create wealth for yourself.
Why did you choose budgeting over like maybe investing?
Well, because you won't have money to invest if you don't actually know where your money's going. And so your budget is the tool through which, like, it's a lens for you to see where your money's going. What I see with individuals is like, as you earn more money, you think that you can do more, but like your spending habits, they go right along with you as you make more money. And I'm there too. You're like, ooh, I can do this. You just start adding things. Right. And so you don't ever really take the time to assess like, how am I actually spending my money? Because, especially as like, I remember making hitting $100,000 and it's like, I've arrived. And you're like, I want to be rich. You ain't rich. Especially not in 2023. Mm-mm. It ain't doing what it used to do, what it would have done for your mom and daddy. So, just understanding that, right? Because I think so many people think that like when they got to a certain point that they would feel better. And so I want people to really come back to what I think is a very like basic tool, which is budgeting, to help them really think about how, like, what's the life that you actually desire to create? And when you look at budgeting as something that allows you to spend money in a way that's like values aligned, then like, it's actually not restrictive. You get to do more of what you want.
Okay. So you're saying create a clear path through a budget. Mm-hmm. So you have a little more freedom with what you're doing versus like restricting yourself.
Yes. Because what I notice, what people do, especially as they're making more money, so much focus is on like paying your bills. So it's like, that's the check mark we use, right? Like I've paid my bills, so everything else is mine. But then what happens is on that month where you forget like, dang, you know, my property taxes are due, especially if it's not in escrow, or I didn't realize that this month my car was going to need tires. Like those are the months where people have to figure out like, okay, well, how am I going to pull back and shift? Because those expenses don't necessarily look like, you know, paying your mortgage every month, your utilities. And so people have a very short-sighted view about where their money is going because we're not looking at like the big picture of our finances. We're only looking like at these little incremental points.
So when did you start taking finances or budgeting seriously?
I feel like I've kind of always budgeted, but my pivotal point actually was so when I graduated college, I decided that I was going to join Teach for America. I turned down a job making like $50,000 a year. To go make $30,000 a year. Because I was like, oh, look, I'm going to go help all the Black and brown children. It's going to be great. But literally the reason that I could do it was because I was like, let me look and see if the numbers work. And so the numbers worked. Like I knew I was going to be rich still. So it was fine. I was going to go teach in St. Louis. I was just going to teach there for my two years and then go get an MBA. It was going to be fine. And so like, I knew how much I could like afford for rent. And like I made the numbers, like I laid out the numbers. And that's when I would say, like, that's how I used budgeting back then, like to really be able to make a decision that for me was more like heart focused, if you will. Like I still value community. I value giving back. And so I didn't want to have to say no to an opportunity because of money. And so for some of you listening, maybe like, but you took a $20,000 pay cut. Like I literally called the job that I accepted and was like, sorry, can't come. I'm going to go teach the children.
Very noble of you.
Listen, I was, you know, 21 at the time. I was like, this is going to be great. But like, that's where like budgeting really started for me, if you will. And like thinking about like, how will money impact me? And then from there, I actually fell in love with teaching and I was like, oh, I'm going to stay in education. But y'all aren't paying me enough. So I need to make more money.
Oh my God.
But like after my 2 years, I was thinking about, okay, like I want to go somewhere where I'm going to actually learn how to teach, be a better teacher. That's what actually brought me to DC. I started working for a charter school. I knew I was going to make more money. My student loans that, you know, Sally was knocking at my door. And so I went from making like $30,000 a year to maybe like $55,000 a year. Nobody told me about really the cost of living though. That one was a shocker. Mm-hmm. But once again, it came back to budgeting because I knew the student loan payment was coming up. And so like, how do I make the numbers work? And so I've used budgeting to build. Like I use budgeting to make sure I could get a house before I was like 30. Like for me, budgeting has been a tool to create the life that I desire to lead. Like I haven't used it as something that's felt restrictive. It's been about being able to show up where I desire, when I desire to show up.
I like hear the tagline, like, is this not restrictive? Using yes. budget to show up where I desire, whenever I desire.
Exactly.
I love that. You say you're working with single mothers and solopreneurs.
Well, single women.
Oh, single women. Excuse me. So single women.
Are single moms, but yeah, mainly single women.
And what have you noticed is the common conversations you're having with single women and moms? I'm sure they're listening to this too. And then entrepreneurs, like what is the common thing that you're noticing?
I think the common piece is that people think that like their finances at some point would fix themselves. Mm. But there's something that people... Generally speaking, people come to me because there's like a pain point, whether it's like I'm turning 25 and I want to, like, this is the first time I'm making six figures, or I've paid down my debt 3 different times and I'm back in the same situation. Mm. And so people think that the resolve is going to be that as I make more money, like my finances will figure themselves out. But as they've encountered making more money and it hasn't fixed itself, then they're like, okay, maybe I actually need some help. And they also realize that they want help because they desire like different results in their life, right? Like, I mean, I work with some women that are like, I want to, you know, be in a relationship and I want to feel like an equal to whoever I partner with, or, you know, I'm almost 40 and I feel like I don't have anything in the retirement, but I should because I'm making $200,000 a year. So mm-hmm. there's some type of epiphany that people are having.
Oh, that's interesting. So give me an example as far as like the woman who is making over 150K, 200, 250 mm-hmm. career oriented, and she's hitting a roadblock because she's not saving. And is it a shocker? Have you helped them get over that shock? Like, and, oh my God, I'm not saving.
Well, it's not even, I don't think that they, so it's not, they're not like, oh my God, I'm not saving.
Okay.
They're like, I make a whole bunch of money. I don't know where it goes.
Okay. what do I do with this?
That's the conversation, right? Okay. And I think that there's a lot of shame associated with it, because I would say a lot of the women that I work with, they're like me, type A individuals, like they excel professionally, they've done well in school, like all, they have all of these other benchmarks, mm-hmm. but when it comes to their money, their shame, and they feel like I should be further along. I don't want to like go to someone and ask them for help, right? Because I'm going to, like, there's the fear of being judged. And then there's also the fear that like, somebody's going to tell me that I like can't get my manicure and pedicure. I can't, you know, like it comes back to this restriction point. And so I think what I see the woman that's making, you know, $150,000 or plus each year is that what's happening is she said yes to a lot of things without ever taking stock of where she desires to be. Especially as you jump from what's common, especially for women of color, is like, I'm making more than my parents have ever made. You may also have like familial responsibilities, which is another piece that can be really interesting. And so you may have jumped from, let's say you jumped from making $80,000 a year to $70,000 a year. But what we also have to factor in is like, where were you when you were making $80,000 a year? Were you living in DC or were you living in Kansas?
Great point.
That's different, right? And so you may not have known how to factor like the cost of living adjustment going from 80 to 150 in two different states. And so like sometimes it could be about the spending, but sometimes it's just about like questions you didn't know to ask yourself because you didn't realize that you were going to go from paying $600 a month for an apartment to $2,500 a month for an apartment. But you thought the $150,000 meant you were rich, but rich
after ain't taxes.
Yeah. You know, so it's just like, it's the fact that you said yes a lot and you don't know how I got here. You know, like, and for me, it's like, there's no shame in that. Let's actually just take stock of where you are and help you actually get to where you desire to be. Because quite frankly, like also you're just not having these conversations because you feel shame about it. So.
So taking stock, are people using like tracking apps? Are they like doing before Excel? I like to do Excel. Yeah. As far as tracking, and you're saying like people don't know where their money's going and they're, going to get this app and
I will tell you, I think the people that work with me, they will tell you, Kina, I track my expenses. And for me, tracking and budgeting are two different things. Tracking is like you keep a running list and you check things off. And so you're just essentially waiting for things to come out. But you miss the most important piece, which is like what's happening with what's left, right? Like, how are you looking at what you have that, like, what's coming up for you in the next 30 days? What's coming up for you in the next 6 months? And so people are missing those pieces. So I have a lot of clients that are very good at tracking. They have budgeting apps even, but they're not looking holistically at their finances. And so for me, I always love to talk to women because I'm like, okay, tell me about your hair. And they're like, oh, I mean, I'm like, yeah, you know that, you know, like whether you go and get a wash and go every week, or you only get braids before you go on vacation, like it's an expense, right? And so like, how do we actually talk about what you do and put it into the big picture? Because I know that before you go travel, you go buy clothes, you get your nails, you know, like there's expenses that come with it. And so I'm like, well, how does that fit into your list of bills? It doesn't. And so helping people understand, like, how do you codify something like that? So that before you go on your girls trip, that when you go and spend, you know, $500, $1,000, whatever it is before you go and travel, that you can just not think about it. And you don't have to have any drama about spending that money before you go on the trip with the girls.
Or come home and you're like, oh my God, I didn't budget for when I came back.
Yes.
What do you tell people if they're, I don't know, in 2024, like, I want to go to Africa and travel across Ghana, and it's not a usual thing. It's not a usual expense. Maybe they haven't traveled in a while because of the pandemic. They're finances have changed because of pandemic. So less commuting, you know, all these different things, these factors that were once in play are no longer there. And now the thought is, I have more money to spend. What do you do with a person like that?
I need you to stop thinking and actually put it on paper. That's what I tell them. Because your mental math is keeping you broke. So like, actually, like there's so, I literally just recorded a podcast episode today about how like $1,000 can turn into $10,000 because people are like counting in their head, you know, like, oh, because I have a friend who's a nurse, or she used to be a nurse. And we were talking about how when she was a nurse, she'd be like, oh yeah, I'll just, you know, I'll work two extra shifts and that'll be my money for Ghana. But I'm like, okay, but what else you got going on? Because that extra shift money, because in the same week, your car gonna break down. You're like, oh, but I got two extra shifts.
That's two right? more lunches. That's two more days to commute.
So you got like, you end up, like, people have overworked dollars. They have the same $1,000 that they like, you're going to do this job, this job, this job. And they like, excuse me, I can't do all those jobs.
And right. And then it disappears from the bank account. You're like, I overspent.
Yes. So the $1,000 becomes $10,000 because you didn't realize how many times you allocated it. So to answer your question, right, if you're thinking, I want to go on a trip next year, how much is the trip? Like, start actually thinking about like, how much is your plane tickets? How much, do you want in terms of like spending while you're there? What's the accommodations? I'm going to throw out a number. Let's say it's $10,000 and you know, that's happening in the next 6 months. Well, what is that actually going to look like if we're going to break it down month by month to actually save that money? And what I want to see, like when I'm working with clients, I'm like, let's actually put that in your budget, right? And maybe you're in a position where you can save $10,000 and you can save that in 6 months. If you can't save that in 6 months, then I want to talk about like, okay, what's the actual gap? Maybe you can save $6,000 in 6 months. So now we're talking about where would the other $4,000 come from? So I also work with clients that are hustlers. So they'll be like, oh, Kina, don't worry, I got a side hustle. So now we start giving like that side hustle. If you make $500 a month in your side hustle, let's just say we're going to put $250 extra towards that travel. So we're building some clarity around it. Because there's too many people doing this like mental math, and you may have extra money, you might not. We don't know. I just hear you talking about it, but if I don't see it, I don't believe you.
Oh, I love that. But you know what? And there's two things you said here. The side hustle and planning money from a side hustle that is not guaranteed could change at any time. I've experienced it. And forgetting that you have taxes on that too.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole different conversation. But yes.
And then to your other point of like changing the costs so you can actually achieve the goal without like straining yourself. You said, it's a 10K trip. Maybe if I can only save six, maybe the trip should be 5,000. Maybe it should be 4,000. Maybe you should shift gears or go later.
Yeah. Or go later. Like maybe I'm doing 6 months, or I was going to do 6 months, but I'm going to do 8. Right. But like actually planning for it, because what I know people will do be like, okay, I'm getting a tax refund. Yeah, but you also said you're going to pay off your credit card debt with your tax refund. So now we're back to like these overworked dollars, right? And so it's just, it's being able to have an honest conversation with yourself about how money is moving in your life. And the clearer you can be, the more success you're going to have with actually feeling like, okay, I make six figures and I actually have something to show for it. And I feel like I also have the flexibility to move how I want to move in the world.
So what do you do with clients who are into fashion? They want to dress based on what they make and they have bad finances.
I mean, it's going back to the budget, right? It's like, what numbers can we actually put in to your budget? Like actually assessing to say like, how much are you spending on clothes? Sometimes when I'm working with people that like to like spend money, I actually have a client right now. She really enjoys lingerie. And I've asked her, I'm like, where are you wearing all of this? Do you know? Right? Like, let's be honest. Are you wearing every single piece that you bought?
I cannot.
Because sometimes we're collecting stuff and we don't think about it. Like, it's just like, it's a dopamine hit, right? And it's not to say you can't have it or that you can't even afford it, but have you taken the time to actually assess whether or not you need to continue to spend money on lingerie or shoes, right? Like, I think the clothing example that I always think about is like, the tendency to be like, oh my goodness, I need to go like take advantage of this sale. And so it's like, it's a habit that you have. Right. And then when you go look at your closet, you'd be like, how many things have tags on it?
Can I fit it anymore?
And can you fit it?
Do I have to give it away?
just like being able to like, I think it's so important to evaluate some of the things that you do mindlessly, even when it comes to shopping. And it's, I want mm-hmm. you to hear that I'm not saying don't shop, but I want you to think about like, maybe you're going to change how you shop and you're only going to buy pieces that you know that you love. And so you might be someone who invests. You might be someone who invests in quality over quantity. And so now we're even having a different conversation about how shopping might show up in your budget. Because I feel like I do have a lot of clients that love to dress. And so we can talk about different things. Like, do you maybe want to do one of the services where it's like, we can rent clothes? And like, that allows you to stay fresh versus you buying a whole bunch of stuff, putting it in your closet, and then you're not like rewearing it or getting the use that you want out of it. So mm-hmm. with people that I'm working with, or even just like getting people to take the time to like audit what you actually are trying to create and being open to the fact of like, is there a different way that I can create what I'm trying to create in my life, right? Like if I want variety, does that mean I need to own everything? Or does that mean that I can do one of these rental services? Or can I go shop my girlfriend's closet to go to an event that I have at the end of the week? You know? So just thinking.
It's a good idea. I honestly didn't think about shopping a girlfriend's closet.
Oh yeah. I mean, only the ones that you know, like you can trust them if they come back and try to shop from you and you know your clothes
gonna be and you'll get the clothes back.
Yes. You know, like you got to think strategically about it. But just like I had a girlfriend years ago where I knew I'd be like, I'm just going to go to her closet. I ain't going to buy anything, because I also know how many times have I bought something that I only bought it because I needed to go out that weekend and then I never wore it.
And never wore it again.
Then I'm like, I spent $100 on a dress that I didn't even really like, but I needed it in that moment. So I learned that about myself. So now, like, I might buy a piece and I'm like, oh yeah, that's going to be something that I'm going to wear all the time. But mm-hmm. I try not to buy when I like only need it for an event, because I generally
not going to do it again. It. Yeah. Yeah. And our moods change about where we're going, what we're doing, who we're doing it with. Like you say, you went from St. Louis to DC, environments change, your clothing probably changed with you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were talking earlier about just recognizing that just paying your bills is not the best thing to do all the time. Like, oh, let me just check the box, correct? No, okay. So, and I was like looking into things, I was like researching, and I came across this article in Fortune about pay yourself first budgeting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the term is new. I don't know if it's something they just made up, but it sounds like that's what you're advocating for. Like, think about your investments, your future self, what you may need, think long-term before you just say, okay, let me pay this $600 student loan bill just because it's due. Maybe I should shift gears. No,
I'm not. No. I'm not saying don't pay your bills. Pay your bills. That's important. But what I am saying, like, I think of it about it as like an upside down triangle.
Okay.
And so if you're making a budget, your budget can't just be about your bills, because you're only thinking about what's in front of you. Like, literally.
Okay.
People are like, okay, today is, you know, November 9th. Let me see, what do I get paid on Friday? And like, that's how they're thinking about it, right? I get paid on Friday, but I'm going out this weekend, so I can do like $200. So like, they're nickel and diming and trying to like literally they're only thinking about the pay period in like the next 15 days. What I mm-hmm. want is that if I think about an upside down triangle, it's like, first I want you to think about your future self. So how are you investing in your 401k, like 403b, like the retirement vehicles? How are you saving? Like, so paying yourself first, literally, and thinking about building like a rainy day fund, because that's going to keep you from saving. If you have money left over, it'll make saving something that you do automatically. Then I think about what I call adulting. It's just the things you have to do because like, you're an adult. And those are just the bills that you have to pay. And from there, like, I think about like fund money, first world problems, like pay those things next and think about those things. But I don't want you just thinking about your bills. I also want you to think about the other things that fuel you. Like mm-hmm. if you get manicures, you probably do it with some type of frequency. Even if you're like, well, I only do it once a quarter. Great. if you do them once a quarter, if you live in DC, you probably spend $100, and that's
there's a pattern.
There's a $400 for the year. If I divide that by 12, what would that look like in my monthly budget? Right,
to set aside to plan for that quarterly mail appointment.
So you probably gonna have like $34 that you set aside, and then every third month, look, you gonna have a magic $100 that you get to go to the nail salon, and you don't have to worry about that conflicting with something else that you also need to pay that month. When I'm working with people that like to like spend money, I actually have a client right now. She really enjoys lingerie, and I've asked her, I'm like, where are you wearing all of this? Do you know? Right? Like, let's be honest. Are you wearing every single piece that you bought?
I cannot.
Because sometimes we're collecting stuff and we don't even, like, we don't think about it. Like, it's just like, it's a dopamine hit, right? And it's not to say you can't have it or that you can't even afford it, but have you taken the time to actually assess whether or not you need to continue to spend money on lingerie or shoes, right? Like, I think the clothing example that I always think about is like, the tendency to be like, oh my goodness, I need to go like take advantage of this sale. And so it's like, it's a habit that you have. Right. And then when you go look at your closet, you'd be like, how many things have tags on it?
Can I fit it anymore?
And can you fit it?
Do I have to give it away?
Just like being able to like, I think it's so important to evaluate some of the things that you do mindlessly, even when it comes to shopping. And it's, I want you to hear that I'm not saying don't shop, but I want you to think about like, maybe you're going to change how you shop and you're only going to buy pieces that you know that you love. You might be someone who invests in quality over quantity. And so now we're even having a different conversation about how shopping might show up in your budget. Because I feel like I do have a lot of clients that love to dress. And so we can talk about different things. Like, do you maybe want to do one of the services where it's like, we can rent clothes? And like that allows you to stay fresh versus you buying a whole bunch of stuff, putting it in your closet, and then you're not like rewearing it or getting the use that you want out of it. So with people that I'm working with, or even just like getting people to take the time to like audit what you actually are trying to create and being open to the fact of like, is there a different way that I can create what I'm trying to create in my life, right? Like if I want variety, does that mean I need to own everything? Or does that mean that I can do one of these rental services? Or can I go shop my girlfriend's closet to go to an event that I have at the end of the week? You know? So just thinking.
It's a good idea. Yeah. I honestly didn't think about shopping a girlfriend's closet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, only the ones that you know, like, you can trust them if they come back and try to shop from you and you know your clothes.
And you'll get the clothes back.
Yes. You know, like, you got to think strategically about it. But just like I had a girlfriend years ago where I knew I'd be like, I'm just going to go to her closet. I ain't going to buy anything, because I also know how many times have I bought something that I only bought it because I needed to go out that weekend and then I never wore it.
And never wore it again.
Then I'm like, I spent $100 on a dress that I didn't even really like, but I needed it in that moment. So I learned that about myself. So now, like, I might buy a piece and I'm like, oh yeah, that's going to be something that I'm going to wear all the time. But I try not to buy when I like only need it for an event, because I generally
not going to do it again. It. Yeah. Yeah. And our moods change about where we're going, what we're doing, who we're doing it with. Like you say, you went from St. Louis to DC, environments change, your clothing probably changed with you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you were talking earlier about just recognizing that just paying your bills is not the best thing to do all the time. Like, oh, let me just check the box. Correct. No, okay. And so, and I was like looking into things. I was like researching, and I came across this article in Fortune about pay yourself first budgeting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the term is new. I don't know if it's something they just made up, but it sounds like that's what you're advocating for. Like, think about your investments, your future self, what you may need, think long term before you just say, okay, let me pay this $600 student loan bill just because it's due. Maybe I should shift gears. No,
I'm not. No. I'm not saying don't pay your bills. Pay your bills. That's important. But what I am saying, like, I think of it about it as like an upside down triangle.
Okay.
And so if you're making a budget, your budget can't just be about your bills, because you're you're only thinking about what's in front of you. Like literally,
okay.
People are like, okay, today is, you know, November 9th. Let me see, what do I get paid on Friday? And like, that's how they're thinking about it, right? I get paid on Friday, but I'm going out this weekend so I can do like $200. So like they're nickel and diming and trying to like literally they're only thinking about the pay period in like the next 15 days. What I want is that if I think about an upside down triangle, it's like, first I want you to think about your future self. So how are you investing in your 401k, like 403b, like the retirement vehicles? How are you saving? Like, so paying yourself first, literally, and thinking about building like a rainy day fund, because that's going to keep you from saving if you have money left over. It'll make saving something that you do automatically. Then I think about what I call adulting. It's just the things you have to do because like you're an adult and those are just the bills that you have to pay. And from there, like I think about like fun money, first world problems, like pay those things next and think about those things. But I don't want you just thinking about your bills. I also want you to think about the other things that fuel you. Like if you get manicures, you probably do it with some type of frequency. Even if you're like, well, I only do them once a quarter. Great. If you do them once a quarter, if you live in DC, you probably spend $100 and that's
there's a pattern.
There's a $400 for the year. If I divide that by 12, what would that look like in my monthly budget? Right.
To set aside, to plan for that quarterly mail appointment.
So you probably gonna have like $34 that you set aside. And then every third month, look, you're gonna have a magic $100 that you get to go to the nail salon and you don't have to worry about that conflicting with something else that you also need to pay that month.
That's a great idea. I have been paying attention to what you've been up to because I feel like we've known each other for a while.
I know.
We have never become a client.
You haven't. But we went, what? We met at a dinner, right?
I think we did like breakfast, like meetup. This was years ago, though.
I think we met at Republic Restorative, right?
Oh, for the Facebook event.
Was it Facebook? I don't remember who put it on.
I think it was some Facebook event.
Back when, you know, you could go outside and you weren't worried about people breathing on you.
Now everybody's sick. They still sick. People are like, I have a new health problem. Come back to, didn't expect a pandemic. Money changed. Now you're out here sick. Ain't ready to be sick every 2 weeks. Some people getting sick now. Okay, so you've gotten back into like fitness. I think you picked it up during the pandemic, like a lot of people did, but you created your own home gym. Mm-hmm. As someone who's financially sound, how did you like carve out the money for that? Like, how did you plan that?
I mean, I have savings that's available for what I want to spend money on. So that, like during the pandemic, it was important to me to like figure out how to move my body. Like I needed something and I worked out before then. Like I'm someone who's done like CrossFit and boxing. Like I enjoyed that. And then I never associated myself with being someone who could work out at home, but I also had no other choice. And so I turned my little one car garage, bought me, you know, a squat rack and all those things. So started working out because I also was out there baking bread with everybody else and, you know, doing sourdough starter, like, ooh, look at the butter. And apparently that stuff attaches to your hips. So it was imperative that I go to the garage.
I got hips now too.
I mean, I've always had hips, but I just had more hips. Yeah. So.
Okay. Yes. I'll plus one that.
Yes. luckily I grow proportionally. So it's okay. It's okay.
You were telling me earlier that you weren't like an athlete in your youth.
No.
So like, how do you get the discipline to keep up your fitness? Like, do you think it's associated with how you track your money, spend your money, budget?
Oh, definitely not. It's so I actually work with a coach on my nutrition and with fitness. Yes. And she's always like, Kina, you help people budget. Like, what would you tell somebody? I'm like, I know what I would tell somebody, but this does not apply here. You know, like, that's why I think coaches are so important because they help you see things from a different angle. And you can be good, like some of my clients are actually really good on their fitness and nutrition, but then like it doesn't apply to money. So we may use those parallels. Mm. But no, it doesn't always translate. Mm-mm.
That's interesting. I never even thought about it like that. Like you assume the discipline, you assume, okay, if you're going to the gym, you're keeping up your hair, you're, you know, doing all the things that look like you're doing, mm-hmm. but you actually may be really bad at something. You have to admit it.
Yeah. Like for me, now I'm at the point when it comes to like the fitness side of it, like I physically know how I feel. Mm. Like it changes my mood. So it's almost like I do it, like, you know, I know it's like a cliche thing, like it's for my mental health, but it literally is.
No, it truly is.
I feel so much different. This last week I've been kind of like under the weather, mm-hmm. and then there was daylight savings time, all this stuff. And I felt so lethargic, and I get up at 4:20 in the morning. I go to the gym by 5, and it's leaps and bounds different of me going to the gym in the morning. And the days that I'm like, I'm going to sleep in, when I sleep in, I'm like tired and sluggish. Like it's crazy. So it's literally like a dopamine hit for me at this point.
Definitely.
And I go in the morning. It's a commitment that I made to myself earlier this year. Like now I don't work out in my garage. I've been going to like a regular gym, but it's one of those things. It's one less decision I have to make. And that's why I choose to go in the morning, because
yeah,
by the time at the end of the day, I'd be like, you know, I'm tired. I don't know. Or I want to go out to eat with one of my friends. And right. So there's just more things happening. Ain't nobody up at 5 in the morning. So just go.
You are so right. Me and the 3 other people in the gym. Exactly. 5:30 a.m.
Yep.
Okay. So I wanted to close with some tips. I wanted mm-hmm. to offer listeners something that they can actually use in the new year. Something that you think would be really crucial to people who are like, okay, it's the end of the 2023, I'm moving to this new season, new job, new whatever, new fitness journey. Maybe they're changing their hairstyles, things like that. What do you advise? Like, what are your top 3 things to keep in mind?
Why are you talking about hairstyle when it comes to me?
You see, my hair is cut off too. So.
Listen, anyways, another podcast. But I would say, like, from the money front, at the end of the year, going into the new year, one of the things I wish that I had known, like in my 20s, was that I could have been putting more money into my retirement. One of the things that I always heard was like, just get your employer match. And mm-hmm. I thought that that was like the max of what I could be doing. But every single year, sometimes the IRS holds it, like in the pandemic, they held it. But each year the IRS like adjusts the limit of what you can contribute to your retirement fund. And so I always love for people to be knowledgeable about that, because it literally is the epitome of paying yourself first and just being able to shift. I think at the beginning of the year, like shift it 1%, shift it 2%. If you are expecting a raise, like I love to help people just say like, go ahead and max out your retirement when you get a raise, because you're never going to feel it. You don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. And then it's a like, it's basically on autopilot. So you're like, ooh, I didn't feel it. And now every other raise you have after that, it's truly going to be your money. And you know that you've like taken care of your future self in terms of your retirement. But just like the limit this year is $22,500. I haven't checked the IRS limits for next year. I'm sure that they're mm-hmm. out, but it could be like, it could go up to $23,000. And so if it's shifted and it's gone up, like you just want to know that to make sure that you're actually getting that maximum benefit over time. The next thing that I would say in terms of like something that I think can be like a quick win is setting up an auto transfer to a different account to save money. Like put it in a high yield savings account. I know we're dealing with inflation right now, but the benefit for y'all is that you can get a high yield savings account that's, you know, anywhere from probably like 4% to 5%, mm-hmm. depending on who you're banking with. And so, you know, every single paycheck, you could say, I'm going to pay myself $100 out of this paycheck and just make that a habit. And if you have it somewhere else, you're not going to be paying attention to it. And then you can just work on, you know, what's actually work from what's in your account. And then thirdly, I would say like make a zero-based budget. Like, that's basically the principles that I work off of. And so if you make $7,000 a month after taxes, it's like going through and making sure that you've allocated where all $7,000 go, not just the money that you're going to use towards bills. Because that's going to help you like actually plan for the travel that you want to do. It's going to help you think about, you know, at Christmas time, I always spend $2,000. And so how do I break that up in small increments throughout the year? But if you take the time to do that, like budgeting, honestly, it's not a consequence for you making six figures. You have not done anything wrong. It's going to allow you to be able to breathe easier and not have that tension in your neck and the little fiery feeling in your stomach. When you go to like open up, you know, your banking app, or you at brunch and you trying to make sure, you know, dang, let me make sure this is going to go through. You're not going to have that.
Let me move some money over, because I actually didn't plan spending.
Or, you know, you didn't know your Klarna payment was going to hit on the same time that you out at brunch. Like, literally, this is what I'm.
We have to talk. We have to talk. Buy now, pay later.
But you're laughing. One of my clients, one of her like testimonies, she was like, girl, I got to buy a wig and I didn't have to put it on Klarna. But we were like talking about how she had been delivered from Klarna. Because she's like, literally before working with you, Kina, like I'm underneath the table, like, okay, let me stay. My Klarna hit and I'm out at brunch, you know, trying to figure out what to do.
Oh man.
Like these are real situations.
They are.
People out here in the DMV, they live in it. They live in it and they making six figures.
Wait, okay. So I was going to stop at the three tips, but yes. I actually want to discuss this because it's been an uptick. I mean, everything is now buy now, pay later.
Have you seen that?
I saw that.
Girl, I was like, oh, y'all out here.
I saw that. And I said, wait. But I get it. To an extent, I get it. And we're not talking about people who have six figures. We're talking about people who are like, I need to get paid more. I have someone to feed. Buy now, pay later on the grocery? I mean, it's new.
I can't remember where I saw it. I don't know if it was at Whole Foods.
No, I know it's a thing.
I know
it's a thing.
But I was like, how does this work?
I saw it on DoorDash, matter of fact. I think I was getting some food and I saw the option to use PayPal. And I was like, okay, well, I don't have my card. My card's attached to that. I use it. Let me just go through. And I was like, I could do PayPal credit.
Like four payments. You like that fried rice, y'all paying for it for three.
Right. No, I'm paying for $60 delivery over time.
Yeah.
Or I could just spend the $20 I got if that's all you got.
Or you can go
cook a meal
in the refrigerator.
Exactly. Yeah. I was gonna say buy some groceries, cook the meal.
Yeah.
Cause I don't care if I'm making six figures or 80K, Imani's gonna cook some food. But that's just me. You know, that's just me.
Yeah. And let me be clear. I don't think that there's anything wrong with like the Klarnas and Affirms, the pay as you go. It's the thinking behind it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because what happens and like people are like, oh, okay, that's, you know, $100. I can do $25 for the next 4 months.
Right.
But then how many times have you said it? And now you have these stacked Klarna Affirm payments that you don't really know when they come out. You kind of forget about them. And so now you have an extra like $400 a month that's coming out of your checks, or not out of your checks, but out of your bank account. Mm-hmm. And you're frustrated by that. And so it's knowing. It's one thing to be like, okay, I'm going to put, you know, my Peloton bike. Like I used Affirm for,
I mean, that's a grip of a bike, right? Cost. Yeah.
But it's not even that. Like for me, it's like, why wouldn't I leverage the 0% interest? Right.
Well, there you go.
So I could keep my money in savings. It can build interest, but I'm very aware that it goes into my budget as a line item to be like, okay, it's $50. It's going to come out on the 25th of every single month. I'm not making that decision blindly. Mm. And so I know where it goes. And for those of you who are like, Kina, I don't make it blindly either. I write it down on my list. Because it don't match with your other pay-as-you-go payments. And so just like, it's like being aware of it and knowing, like, how is that one pay as you go, the Affirm payment, how is that going to impact how you experience money month to month? Because this month it may not impact you, but if you don't have a budget, if it comes during that month where like everything hits and the unexpected things hit too, you're going to feel restricted. And so it's not the budgeting that's making you feel restricted. It's the fact that you don't have a plan for your money that's making you feel restricted.
Oh, wow. And as you were speaking, it's making me think of like funding my own personal care brand, and just, you can't get grant money. You're, you know, applying to all these different competitions. Mm-hmm. And then you realize like, I actually need to keep going. So find a way to pay for this thing. And at one point, and I've had people tell me, it's like, oh, I just took money out of my 401k. And I'm like, I literally would, but I can't. Like, my body is like, don't do it. Mm-hmm. And not to knock anyone who is comfortable doing it. Mm-hmm. And have succeeded with it or failed and learned from it. I think there's just some things, like you mentioned, that it's just like a no. If you can't recoup that in a timely manner, or if you can't find a way to be comfortable for your future self while also building something that could be amazing, mm-hmm. you're constantly mm-hmm. frustrated. And I was at one point in the summer, I was like, I cannot do this. Like spending this money, just to develop a product, develop two products, and the cost was like $5,000. And I'm like, yeah, okay, Mon, you can come up with $5,000.
But here's the flip side that I would say to that is I do think that there's a healthy way to use it, right? So like in the case of my business or you building a product, you have a vision, right? That's going to create more money. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly the goal.
And so I think that that's different than let me put a whole bunch of food on Klarna payments, right? Because I've leveraged debt in my own business. Like I remember when I got my website done, I put it on a credit card. It was zero interest. I had a plan though to be like, okay, my business is, I can't remember what I was generating at the time, but I was like, I can pay this credit card off like in the next, you know, 8 months if I set aside $800 a month to like pay it off, whatever it was. And so like for me, that was like, it was calculated risk. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I think like that, when we're talking about calculated risk, because there's rich white people that do it all the time, they leverage debt. And so I think like that makes sense. Like, I don't want people to hear this and say like, dang, you know, you need to, I don't want you to be scared of debt, but I want you to know how to use debt in a way that makes sense.
Right.
Because even when I bought my house, I took out a loan for my 401k or my 403b for my down payment because I wanted to keep cash on hand.
That was smart.
And then I paid myself back when I ultimately like left my job. So it's like being able to do things that are calculated, and I would take a loan out for myself again to buy my house. Because living in DC, I know I'm under where I would have been if I was renting. And so it's like being yep. able to know, like, how can I do things that make financial sense? Mm-hmm. Cause some people, like, I mean, my mom uses that phrase, like, it takes money to make money kind of thing. And like, you gotta be willing to put money up. And so I'm willing to do that. I mean, I've paid coaches $25,000 to work with them. Like, I've made some steep investments. So I don't want people hearing this to be like, dang, she's gonna be like, no debt. It's not necessarily that, but I want you to know how to like leverage debt in a way that makes sense. And for me, putting, like, I wanna know the ROI of whatever it is that I'm investing in. And I would go into debt for like coaching. I would not go into debt for, you know, DoorDash. those are different.
Each his own.
Yeah,
we're on the same page, and I'm glad you said that. Calculated risk.
Yes,
I feel better.
Good. That's right. Like 5,000. Like
I mean, that's an investment.
It's an investment, but I'm also like, Amani, you can make that money back. It's not a problem.
And I got something out of it. I own my formula. I own the products, and so I definitely see that there was. Okay, have some faith, take the jump, it paid off. It like, it paid off itself without actually having physically pay itself off.
Yeah.
And I think, and that made me feel good. There was, and I think that's the other part, like the feeling of the investment or spending or budgeting is a key part in all of this too.
Mm-hmm. And like, and for you, I know that you have, skills that you can monetize outside of this product making, right?
Right.
So I'd be like, all right, you need $5,000. Who's the next person you're going to be like, yeah, I'll help you with PR for $10,000, you know?
And like, I ain't going to lie. I thought about it a few times this year. Like, okay,
but that's what you got to do though, because I think that the other thing, like, yes, I help people with budgeting from the point of let's manage your money. But the other part of this, once I get people stabilized in their budget, I go to, all right, how are we going to make more money? Because what's happening, there are so, like, women historically are under-earning, whether it's of their own doing because they're scared to ask, whether they're scared to charge people. I just had a consult with somebody today, and I was like, why are you doing that for free?
Oh, no.
You know, and it's like, because women think, oh, well, let me, you know, this might turn into something. I'm like, we don't have to wait for it to turn into something. You can ask them, what's your budget?
Right. It's already worked.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm not available if your checkbook ain't open, you know, but in charging and being able to name your prices, then you're also like, it's another opportunity for you to increase your wealth. It's another opportunity for you to be able to invest in yourself. And so for me, it's a both and when it comes, like, I need you to know how to manage money. And I need you to know also how to make money, because like, those are the two things. Those are the two skills that are going to help you reach your like financial goals.
Oh, I'm going to close with that. I'm going to close with that. If you can make money just as much as you could spend it, you'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks, Kina.
You're welcome.
Oh, so where can people find you?
So you can find me on Instagram at Wealth Over Now. I also have a podcast called Money Files. So wherever you love listening to podcasts, you can do that there. And then, of course, I have a website also called Wealth Over Now. So any of those places.
Beautiful. I love it. Okay. Well, thanks for joining me.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.